Thank you, worship team. Appreciate it. Well, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. We'll be spending a little time in verses 5 through 8. I've been up at our camp. We have a camp meeting up in Brown City. How many people know where Brown City, Michigan is? A few of you do. A few of you have been there. Yeah, we're out in the middle of cornfields. 2,000 plus people just gathering to hear from God. I've been privileged to lead the morning prayer services at 7. Every morning, and we've been praying for you. We've been praying for the camp, but we've been praying for our churches that God would just do mighty and awesome things there. And I'm excited for how God's going to do that. Opened it up to Luke 15. I need John 15. What a powerful chapter this is. We've been hearing about relationship all week long. And it's something that God has just been reaffirming and confirming in me just over these last, over this last 6 months particularly. Relationship, it's the source of joy, right? It's where we find joy. Without relationship, we will not find joy for our lives. And it's in the relationship that everything is that God has for us comes. One of the things that God really spoke about through one of the messages in particular was this concept of relationship with God. Is it received or is it entered into? I've struggled with some of the Christianese, some of the Christian terms that sometimes we get comfortable with. And it's not that they're not true or they don't have value, but they really don't communicate things the way God does in His Word. Some of them like, I received Jesus into my heart. Now, is that true when you become a Christian? It is, yeah. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ. And when we trust in Christ, the Spirit of God comes and dwells in us. So technically, yes. But it's this concept that I've received something. It loses some of what Christ and the Word tells us about our walk with Christ and how it begins. And it's the focus is relationship. And this is where we're going to look, because there's as we're going to find, relationship is just, it's not a thing that you receive. It is something that you enter into. And it's pretty clear in God's Word how He describes this. Let's stand together. And we're going to read His Word. Trust Him that He's going to have something for us today. Let's read together. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Lord, we just come to you with hearts open wide, ears ready to listen. Holy Spirit, speak. and do what only you can do in the transforming of our lives. We want to know you, Lord, as you intended us to know you. So bless us, speak to us, Holy Spirit, and give us wills ready to respond and walk in the blessing that you have in mind, Lord. We pray this and thank you for it in Jesus' strong name, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. So Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He's giving a picture, a parable, that gives us a visual. We learn best with visuals. We like to be able to see and grasp something. And for people back then, vines, grapes, juice, wine, it was all a regular part of their lives. And vines, vineyards were all around them. They understood this. And Jesus was giving this concept of, I am the vine, you are the branches. The vine is the source, right? The vine is where what goes into the ground and brings all the water and nutrients up out of the ground and feeds the branches. And God is, and Jesus is saying, I am that vine. I'm the source. And the branches, that's us. It says, you are his branches. You are the branches. We're the ones that are attached to the vine. That's how we stay alive, is being attached to the vine. It's a pretty simple but pretty profound parable or analogy that Jesus is giving. It's a picture of God's heart. His desire has always been to be our source for everything that we need. For a branch, where does it get all of its needs? It's through the vine. God has always desired and intended to be that provision for us. He loves us. It's the picture of his heart for us. And Jesus goes on to say about, and he's doing this teaching so that we can learn about ourselves and this. He says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And he's talking about us remaining in him. Now this word remain is the way the NIV translates it, and it's used in a couple of ways, sometimes in the sense of remaining in a place or remaining, staying in that sense. But it's also often used in the idea of abiding. We don't use this word, but my humble abode. What would that be referring to? My house. It's where I live. And abiding somewhere is just dwelling there. And if you think about the word in the sense, in the context that Jesus is using it, what's he talking about? Just before that, it says, remain in me, I'll remain in you. He says afterwards, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. This is not a locational remaining. It is a relational remaining. Abide, dwell in me. Remain here with me. That's what he's talking about. And when he's saying remain, abide in me, he's saying enter in and stay there. We think of relationships. I may, when my children were born, I went to the hospital, and you know what? I received a child there and left with that child. Of course, I brought the child there too, obviously. But there was a receiving of someone, wasn't there? But that wasn't a relationship. That was a child. A relationship is not something you say, oh, I've got it, now I've got a relationship. A relationship is something that you choose to enter into. It's not a tangible thing. It is something that you become a part of. And it's done by choice. When I married my wife, low, these almost 30 years ago. I received a wife, but really I entered into a relationship with her, a lifelong relationship with her. That started, of course, before that. It was made official on that day, but we entered into that relationship at some point in time when we first started dating, and we realized more and more that this is a relationship that we want to enter into together. And ultimately, the two became one flesh, and we became husband and wife. And that's a relationship that we entered into. I didn't just receive something. Because when you think about receiving something, we receive something, and you could take it and put it on a shelf. You can show it off to people. Look, I've got this, or I've got that. That's not what relationships are created or designed to be. It is something that we enter into together. And that's the way it is supposed to be for our walk with Christ. I talked a bit about that last week. Some of the terminology that we think about when we think of salvation. I was spiritually dead, and when I became a Christian, I received what? What's that? Come on, speak with some courage, and you know what the answer is. It's life, right? Right? I was lost, and then I was found. Exactly. I was enemies with God before I was trusted in Him. And when I put my faith in Him, I became what? Friends or children, adopted into His family. But those are the things that I received, okay? Those are the things that I received as a result of something, as a result of a restored relationship. Salvation has many gifts and benefits that we receive, but salvation is ultimately a relationship that was broken by sin and restored by faith. And that was a relationship that we entered into by a choice, right? It wasn't just I didn't receive this relationship as a gift. I, by faith, entered into it. Was it offered as a gift? Obviously. The wages of sin is death, but what? Gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift offered, but I receive the gift through the restored relationship of faith. Everything is born out of relationship. And sometimes people struggle with this analogy that Christ is using, this parable, because they want to attach a meaning to it that's not really, wasn't really Jesus' intent. They want to try to fit meaning into this. So can somebody be saved and then not saved? They want to talk about eternal security and salvation. Jesus isn't talking about salvation here. What's he talking about here? Think about it. What's that? Fruits? Definitely a part of it. Fruits. And, yeah, relationship. Or he says, as the Father loved me, so what? I have loved you. Yeah, there's fruits and there's relationship. And he's saying, those that don't abide in me will not bear fruit. Those that do abide in me, you'll see, our relationship with God is a kind of a two-track thing. There's love and there's obedience. Both of those are important. They're part of our walk with Christ. And we can't have a walk with Christ that's fruitful without both of those. Love for Him and obedience to Him. They're both equally important. You can't get away from that. Jesus' words, he says, if you obey my commands, in verse 16, you'll remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. He's saying, love for me is going to result. It'll have fruit, the fruit of obedience. That's going to be a natural outpouring. Again, don't try to jam salvation into this parable because he didn't intend it. He said, obedience will be a natural outpouring. If you love me, then what? You'll obey my commands. That's the way it works. If you love somebody, you'll act a certain way. You know, if you're going to win a girl's heart, you're going to do all kinds of things. Guys, we're like that. Yeah, me too. And we do it. It changes us. It changes our behavior. It's just the way we're wired. If we love God, it'll change our behavior. It's a natural outpouring of who we are. And God says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. So abide in me. Dwell in me. Enter into relationship with me. We as the church have replaced relationship with activity. Or in some cases, quite honestly, non-activity. We've made salvation a transaction, as I was talking about before. Said, if I do this, then he'll do that, and then I'll have something. It's not that way. It's a relationship that was broken and needs to be restored. He's made the offer through grace. Through grace, he said, I've created a way for that broken relationship to be restored through faith. Your choice to enter into relationship. Does it seem too simple? Does it seem like easy believism? Oh, if you just believe, then you're saved. There's more to it than that. Is there? It's simple. You're quoting me. It's simple, but not easy, because entering into that relationship means I'm giving myself up and putting my whole hope and trust, God, in you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to come to you when I'm making decisions about life. I'm going to cry out to you when things are just falling apart around me. I'm going to worship you. I don't care how bad my voice sounds. And I'm going to express my worship. I don't care who's looking at me. I'm going to serve you even if it costs me something. I'm going to talk about my faith in Jesus, even if it causes me troubles, because I've entered into this new life, this new relationship with you, Jesus, and it's changed my life. That's what happens when relationship happens with God. If you remain in me, you'll obey my commands. And my question to you is, have you tried to receive it as a thing, as part of a transaction? If I do this, then God does that, and now I've got salvation. Or have you entered into a relationship of faith with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ? Maybe it sounds like splitting hairs, but let me tell you, after walking with Christ for 31 years and spending way too much of that time trying to make it something that I'm working out myself, when you finally give up and say, Lord, I just need to know you more deeply so that I'll obey you just out of who I'm becoming as I walk closer with you. How is your faith life? wrestle with this. Stop and think about it. Maybe the wrestling is, that's me. I've just been working it, trying to make it happen on my own through my own strength and serving and doing this. And I've been so busy, I just stopped entering into the relationship with you. And I've lost my joy. Jesus said, if you obey me, you'll remain in my love, just as I have obeyed the Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. If you've lost the joy of your salvation, it's because you've focused on something other than entering into a close relationship with him. He is. But how many times do we run past him? I'm speaking from personal experience. I came to faith when I was 25. I started serving him, and this is all good. I was a worship leader, a youth leader. I became a pastor. I quit my day job, started following him. That's all good stuff. But I got my eyes on the doing and off of the person. And there's only one place that leads to. Just discouragement, disillusionment, and an empty life that is without relationship. Where do we find joy? In the relationship. Are you entering into, or have you entered into, this relationship, or are you doing Christianity? Your joy will be found in that relationship, that drawing near to him, that sitting down, carving out time, not to do more, but to be with him more. And out of that will come obedience. Out of that will come, Paul said in Galatians 3, are you guys going back to the law? Or do you really believe that simply it's out of belief in him that miracles happen? It's not in the doing, it's in the believing. So I'm just going to ask the worship team to come as we close. And I want you to think for just a moment. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. And I just want to give you some time to be quiet with God. And kind of ask him that question. Say, Lord, have I really just tried to receive it as a thing? Or have I really entered into this relationship with you, God? Is it something I'm trying to do and manufacture myself? Or have I really come to the place of saying, God, I just need you. I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. I just need more of you. Change me. Show me how I can love you more. Take a moment and just ask the Lord, where am I? Am I trying to receive you as a thing? Or have I really entered into, and am I walking in that relationship close to you? Just ask the question. Lord, there's, I'm sure, some of us that have just gone into that place of nearness with God that they're so familiar with and said, thank you. Thank you for being so near to me and teaching me how to walk so closely with you, for the peace I find there, for the joy that there is when we're together. But I know there's going to be some here that find themselves where I found myself. We say, God, you feel so far from me. I've been doing, trying, and you just feel far from me, and I don't know how to just be with you. I don't know how to just listen and hear your voice. And I want that peace, that joy of that close, intimate me and you, Lord. That's just in the midst of that promise that you'd never leave us, you'd never forsake us. And I want that. I want to know you more deeply, more intimately. God, because that's where you're going to change me. If that's where you are, I want to give you hope. Because God's desire is that you have joy, and joy to the full, and joy more completely. Salvation isn't yours by any effort of your own at all. And our faith walk after that day, that moment of salvation, is just as much God's doing as salvation was. We need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Same prayer of salvation. I need you, God, to live this life. If this is where you are and you just want to experience that closeness with God, and it's been too long maybe since you have, just raise your hand to say, God, that's me, and I want to draw nearer. Amen. Yes. I see those. Yep. Yep. Lots of us that have said, all right, I'm just going to be honest. On the outside, I come to church and everybody thinks I'm doing fine, but Lord, you know, we've just really not been walking close. Thank you, Lord, that you see these hands. More importantly, you see the hearts. And Lord, you have ways in these next days and months, Lord, that we're going to have ways to learn how we can hear your voice better. Thank you for that, Lord. We're just going to take some time. Let's sing the song of worship. Just say, it's all about you, Lord. And I'm going to encourage you, if this is your heart's desire, that you just come and take a moment to bow down before him. Our altar's open for you to just come and say, God, I just want to be near to you again. And he will hear you and meet with you there. Let's stand together.